This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Pridecast. It's Jonathan Bennett, your host, joined by my handsome, hunky, and happy I married him husband, James Vaughn. Say hello, James.
Baby, you always do
I know, I do this every time. It's a gag.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'm doing a
gagging.
Bit.
No one's gagging.
I'm doing a bit.
Yeah, y'all.
So we are so excited because today's episode, we have David Archuleta, and we had a conversation with him that is so moving. I have to say, this could be one of my favorite episodes we've ever done because there's so much emotion and so many feelings in this Pridecast.
It's honest.
It's a very honest conversation.
And it might be tough for some people to hear.
Because he does talk about faith and, you know,
but I think it's important.
Struggles with it and what he's going through.
Yeah, it's very important, especially for those of us that grew up in faith-based households. I think this is a really wonderful conversation that is going to be helpful to a lot of people. We actually just wrapped it up, so it's very fresh for us, and now we're going to play it for you right now.
All right, we are welcoming the one and only pop icon, pop culture icon, singer extraordinaire. He does it all. The one and only, the talented, fabulous, and famous David Archuleta is joining us on Pridecast today. Hello, David Archuleta.
Hello. Hey, Jonathan. Hey, Pridecast.
I love that you're joining us from the guest room at your parents' house. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. We've all been there.
This is a little bed for when my niece is taking a nap and things here because my mom watches over her a lot. So
I think we've all been there. During the holidays when you got to do some type of press or media and you're like at the house you grew up in and you're like, okay, where do I go? Where's the best place to do this? And it looks like you found a quiet space. Yeah. At my childhood home, there would not be a quiet space. Just a whole lot of rednecks screaming in the background. So you left.
Where are you from?
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay.
But the southern part where the gas station starts serving fried chicken. It's a very different experience.
Hey, now. So I live in Tennessee. And I have a gas station that serves fried chicken right by my house. So.
And is it not the best fried chicken ever? The gas station fried chicken is always the best of the area.
You know, yeah, they don't disappoint.
You know what? I think, do you know that we met, I want to say 10 years ago at a tree lighting? I met you for 5 seconds.
Really?
Just seeing your face right now, it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, I've met David Archuleta. It was you and I think Ariana Grande. And it was like the Hollywood. Am I crazy? Were you at, there was like a Hollywood.
Are you crazy or falling?
I'm both. But up at.
I got the reference.
It was at the Hollywood and Highland. Like, remember, you know, like the
Hollywood
Kodak Theater. There's like that, you know, the big like Kodak Theater where, you know, they do the Oscars. There was a big tree lighting ceremony. And you sang at it.
Yeah. Did I sing with, did I sing with Charisse? Just you. No, that was, it was just me. And Ariana Grande was there?
And Ariana Grande, before Ariana Grande was Ariana Grande.
What?
This is yeah. years ago. Okay. This is right after Idol.
I guess that would make sense. I always wondered why she followed me on Twitter. I was like, that's so
It was
random.
The tree lighting ceremony.
Okay.
Yes, I hosted it and you guys sang. I just realized that.
Oh my gosh.
It was for Camp Heartland or like One Heartland.
Yeah.
It was a camp for kids with HIV.
Yes.
And like we were raising money. Yep.
Oh
that's so crazy. Well, it's good to see you again, David Archuleta.
Good to see you.
You've had a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we want to talk about, you've had such just a momentous year of for so many reasons. But like what I want to talk about first, because I'm that guy. We got to talk about Joseph.
Oh, and your background is so fitting for that musical.
Yes, we use the coat as a template for our background.
His
podcast.
Inspiration.
I just love that of all the things we could talk to David Archuleta about, my husband goes for, can we talk about the musical you did?
Yes, because I'm a musical
I'm so
freak.
Glad.
Did you have so much fun being Joseph?
I loved it. I want to do it again. It was so fun.
What was some of your favorite parts about playing that character? Because so many people that
have you done it?
I did it in high school, obviously, like a sophomore in high school. But it's just the most fun show to do.
It is.
It's just fun and energetic and happy.
Yeah.
And like when you're backstage, and tell me if this happened to you, when you're backstage and the like the I think it's the third song, the dun, 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 dun. Like, you, no matter how many times you do the show, you still get chills when that music comes on.
Yes. Yeah. It is so, exhilarating. I love that song. That's like that's my favorite song in the musical, too. Jacob and Sons. So good.
Did you guys do a mega mix?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of course, you can't do it without a mega mix.
No, you can't do Joseph without the mega mix.
Wait, because I'm not the theater queen in this room. Where did you do Joseph? where did you do Joseph at?
I did it in the St. George, Utah, in Southern Utah, like an hour, 40 minutes out of Las Vegas. And it was the Tuacon Amphitheater. It's surrounded by red rocks. It is incredible.
Wait, I know that theater. That's where Josh Strickland's done shows. I know the theater you're talking about. Yes.
You know Josh?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Josh and I used to do shows in Vegas together back in the day.
Oh my gosh. Josh was, when I left, he was the next Joseph.
Wait.
Oh,
okay. All right.
My gosh.
I now know when it all happened. It's all clicking in my head. And now I feel like I'm a part of this conversation. Thank you so much.
Back to me. Now, who is your narrator?
It's Katie Lamarck. Incredible. She is incredible.
I don't know her, but I want to know her because
to know her.
Jessica Voss did it at one of the other ones this summer. I think she did it at Muni. One of my favorite Elphabas from Wicked was the narrator. And I was like, do I just book a ticket and fly there just to watch her? Because I would.
You should have.
I know.
Yeah, you didn't?
No. Well, David, there's a lot going on. I'm just very busy doing Pridecast. You know, just we gotta celebrate the LGBTQ plus community, which we are so excited to have you on. Celebrating the LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah. This is a new thing. Like I'm learning how to just get planted into this, get a feel and celebrate it and love it, embrace it. Yeah.
What's this year?
I've really loved getting to, it's really unfortunate because I spent so much of my life being afraid of it, which I guess is common. It's a common thing that people go through, especially like in faith-based communities. And
hi, you're talking to two of them. Yep. Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. I want to hear your stories. Oh my gosh.
But we want to hear yours first. Keep talking I'm loving this.
I spent so much time being afraid of it. Like it's like something to fear, something to despise. If you experience it yourself, do everything you can to suppress it, as I've heard many people now tell me that they've gone through this experience of praying the gay away. Mm-hmm. So I spent most of my life doing that until last year as a 30-year-old. And a lot of the verbiage that was used. It's like, oh, you're not. If someone would be like, I think I'm gay, or I think I'm queer, they'd be like, or I think I'm a lesbian, like, oh, you're not gay. You just have same sex attraction. Don't say you're gay. Because if you say you're gay, you're accepting it. You're admitting it and like allowing it to be a part of you, which is that's the sin. But if you just acknowledge that you're attracted to the same sex, you don't have to act on that. So there's still hope for you, essentially. So then it's like, okay, I'm not gay. I just struggle with this. And so I'm going to pray and work at it. And that's what I did. I just kind of took that approach because that's how I was raised, you know, hearing it at church. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to work on it. And I came out to my mom and my little sisters when I was 23. I'd served a mission for my church. I was a Latter-day Saint missionary in Chile for 2 years, preaching the gospel and doing all this. And that's when that was my first time I came to terms with myself, when I was a Mormon missionary. Mm-hmm. And I told my mission president, I said, because you're around guys the whole time, like you live with them. And I'd never lived with other guys my age before. And I had to like come to terms with the feelings I would get sometimes around them. I'm like, I don't even want these feelings, but I'm getting them. This is super embarrassing for me. And so I told my mission president, because I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be like sent home from my mission for having these feelings? Like, I'd heard things like that happen before. Like I'd talked to some people who now that it's like a girl who's came out to her mission president, and he was like, I'm so disappointed in you. Like he almost like she couldn't be forgiven for like admitting this. So I was like, oh my gosh. But my mission president, I was really fortunate. He was just super loving. He didn't say anything. Like, I thought he was going to tell me like, this is how you need to work on it. He's just like, you're doing a great job. And like, you're a great missionary and just keep doing what you do. And I love you. And God loves you. So I was like, oh, okay. But I went home and told my parents, but I was like, I think I'm gay. but I said, but I'm going to work on it. So I took that approach, and I started dating girls. Cause that was like marriage is the ultimate goal in Latter-day Saint culture. Like, yep. It's like, get married because that is the most godly you can become, creating a family and procreating. Like, you get the chance to create life. That's the closest you can be to God and the greatest joy you can accomplish. Like, we have temples, or like we have these temples that Latter-day Saints build, and it's like considered like heaven on earth. And you go there and you get like married for time and all eternity. So it's like such a big deal. Like, they make a huge deal out of it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to get married. I started dating. I dated one girl, got engaged to her, and then I just couldn't go through with it. I thought maybe it's her. And she thought, okay, she's like, what did I do wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. Then the second time through, I got engaged again for a second time to a girl I met in Europe, actually. And so once again, like, was staying through with it. But then I was just like, I don't feel... like, my conscience wouldn't let me go through with it again. And I was open with her. I was like, you know, I'm attracted to guys. But I was like, but I'm still going to make it work. Like, girls in our culture, it's like, you hear it. It's like, there are people, just like they deal with depression, just like they deal with alcoholism. Some people deal with some mental health problems. Other people deal. One of those things that people deal with is same-sex attraction. So, like, people are encouraged to help others work through their problems, and through faith in God, like, we can overcome this problem, this challenge, right, and have a happy life and a happy marriage. So that's what, you know, so even I would talk to them openly about it, but they were still cool with it, but that didn't work. And then I got engaged a third time. That was last year. So this was in the span of like since the 8 years that I had come out,
right,
to my parents. I was like, I'm still gonna, you know, through my faith, God's gonna change me. It helped me overcome my same-sex attraction. But the last time, I just felt like, okay, it's not any of these girls' problems. They're all wonderful. And this is, I have to be honest with myself. And I just have to come to terms that maybe I like, because I was like, oh, I'm bisexual because I still like these girls. But I was like, you know, I've never, whether I'm like gay or just on the spectrum of bisexual, I have to be honest with myself. I like guys, and I started feeling like this hatred for the girls I was engaged to. I was supposed to be in love with them. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling anger and hatred for them. Like, I was like, I felt like I was going to explode. So I was like, this isn't good. And I was talking to one of my friends who she got married to someone who was a guy who was LGBT, and they got married, had 5 kids. He served in like church leadership positions. She was saying how, like, I was there, I think, visiting with my ex-fiance, and she was telling me the story. And she's like, we had 5 kids, like 4 of them have served missions, and we were married for 20 years. And all of a sudden she's like, I find some things. And I tried to approach him because it's like, oh, and he just exploded on her because he thought like he was doing a good job hiding it. He was like, you know, playing the part, like had kids, was serving in his church. He started beating her. Oh, and it's like, it exploded. And I was just like, she's like, I wasn't mad at what that he was the way he was. I was just mad that, you know, he had to felt like he had to hide it and like, and acted out the way he did. And I was just like, you know what? The counsel I'm getting right now is leading me to that path. Like, I don't want, I already feel that anger happening because I'm trying to be something that I'm not. I'm trying to make it look like I'm this happy straight guy who's going to have a happy straight life. And I know that's not what I am. And this anger and bitterness that's building up inside of me is going to get worse if I keep faking this. And I was like, I don't want to put anyone through that. I don't want to be the cause of someone else's suffering just because I tried to look straight and, you know, make all the Mormons who are watching me happy that I was following God's path the way they thought it needed to look. And so I was having these horrible anxiety attacks. I had dinner with my ex-fiance and I had an anxiety attack again. And I was just like, I need a break. And I said, I can't see for like, I need like 3 weeks. Cause I was like, I'm going to take 3 weeks to work on praying and fasting to see if God, if I have enough faith, like maybe this is just the trial of my faith. And it's been 16 years that I've been praying about this now at this point, but maybe this is like the ultimate goal. Like I'm so close to getting married for a third time. And maybe it's just the devil trying to take away my soul and prevent me from having this marriage that I'm supposed to have, that he wants me to have. So I was praying and fasting, where it's like you don't eat and you don't drink so that you like humble yourself before God. And I started feeling like nothing. I was like numb. And that's when I started like going spiraling down because I didn't talk to anyone. I was so embarrassed because I'm like in the back of my head, I knew I was like, David, you like guys more than girls.
Yeah.
And maybe you have to come to terms with that. And I was just like, no. Like for me, that was the devil talking to me.
Yeah.
Right.
He was trying to take me down. And I was like, I can't let that happen. I can't. And so I was praying even harder. I was like, I stopped talking to my family. I stopped talking to my friends. And I think that's a pretty dangerous thing to do because when you're feeling really sad and getting depressed and you isolate yourself, you start thinking thoughts you shouldn't think. You start thinking like, I don't know. It's just, it can be, you need help. Sometimes you need help to go through, but I didn't know who to talk to at that point. I was still going to church. I was like, I'm going to do everything I need to, but it was like making me feel even worse. And, so I was like, what do I do? I think in my heart, I'm like, I need to come to terms with this. I need to admit this to myself. But I was like, if I admit this, then I am giving myself away. And so I was like, okay, what's worse? Cause I felt it like about to just pop out of me, like explode. I couldn't hold it down anymore. And so I was like, before that happens, what's worse for me to become gay and end up with a guy or doing stuff I'm not supposed to be doing with guys, or maybe I should just terminate things before to prevent it from getting there. I was looking that as a better option to end my life than to become gay.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
After the fact, like now that I've come out, like I've seen that is pretty common. Like, yeah. Unfortunately, that is way more common than it should be with people of faith and specifically with people in my church, like Latter-day Saints, because it's just that conflict that it's causing. Like you hear like homosexuality and they're like pairing it up, like the sin with like killing people. So like you're looking at yourself as like, if I've become a homosexual, like my evilness is equal to those of murderers. And it's like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to live my life like feeling that on myself. So you're thinking like, okay, but it just got to a point where I'm like, well, I was just going back and forth in my head. I'm like, well, maybe even if I was gay, and maybe if I even ended up with a guy, maybe there's some value to my life still. Like maybe I can make up for it. Like even if I'm this horrible gay person, queer person, maybe it's still, I can still contribute to life so that it's not entirely bad for me to keep being here. So like that was like the things I was going through with my mind. So I'm like, maybe, but at the same time, you feel so disappointed in yourself because it's like, I was supposed to be married. I was supposed to have this wife and have these children and live this dream life that you're taught as growing up as a Latter-day Saint. So AKA Mormon. So there's just a point where it's just like, I don't want to deal with this. Like, I don't feel like God's hearing me. I must not have enough faith. Like no matter how hard I try, I just, maybe I'm a faithless person or maybe I'm cursed. Maybe God really doesn't like me. And he's just showing me that maybe he doesn't want me around, but I'm like, or like, maybe I'm not good enough. Like maybe I'm not strong enough and I'm showing my weakness. So you start like, I was just like thinking like, well, maybe if I just go off, I can just speed up right now and I can just drive off the curb and like it will look like it wasn't on purpose because I didn't want to have that weight of like my family thinking like I saw how people who end their lives, how much it affects the family. I'm like, I don't want to do that to my family. I love them too much to leave them feeling like they did something wrong. So, and I didn't want to hurt their lives, but I was like, if it looks like an accident, then maybe it won't be as bad. And that was like going back and forth for a few weeks, like when I was in that time where I just isolated myself. And I don't think that's a good thing. It's just how it was. But I finally got to a point where I just finally felt this like opening and I like came out of the numbness and I just was like, I think that's God. This feeling that I'd always recognized as God. I've had a faith crisis this year. So like now I'm like, I don't know what to call, like, God, greater, like something greater out there, like higher self. But I always called it God. And that's what I was feeling at that point. And I just dropped to my knees and I was like, God, please, like desperately just saying, God, if you're there and if you really have a purpose for me, please take this away from me. I'm so tired. I don't know what to do with this anymore. Like, no matter how hard I try, it's not enough. So please, like, I know you can change water into wine. I know you can allow the blind to see. Like, that's what they taught me. So surely you can change me if that's your will. And I just got this clear response. It was so clear and sure and like just assuring, like peaceful, but like strong. He just said, David, you need to stop asking me this. As you can see, you've been asking for over half of your life now for me to change you and change something that I don't intend to change. It's like, I don't see you the same way you see you. I don't see you the same way a lot of people do. A lot of even well-meaning people who are following me see you. He's like, and I need you to take time to understand that. And I said, I wasn't expecting that. Like, I thought he was going to be like, yes, David, you finally shown your trial of faith and you passed the test. Like the Abraham with about to kill his son, Isaac, like, no, wait, you don't actually have to do that. Like, you've proven yourself worthy and faithful.
Yeah.
But he was like, no, you need to stop asking me this. I'm like, huh? And I said, I don't want to mess up though. Like, I don't want to I just don't want to mess up. And he said, well, then perhaps you need to do what you think are mistakes. So do you realize you're allowed to make mistakes? I give you permission to make mistakes. And then as you make mistakes, you're going to realize what you thought were mistakes aren't mistakes. And I knew what he was talking about, a God or I understood it as God, as I had always understood at that point, like I said, but it just said, if you make mistakes, if you do mess up, that's why you can always come to me and we can work through this together. Like, and so I don't know if that was like my higher self. It's like, if that's God, I don't know, but I knew that was what I needed. And I knew what God was referring to is like, okay, I just need to get to know guys and date them. And then like I was doing yard work not long after that. And I just felt like this feeling and say like, you need to share this. Like just, and so I posted on Instagram about it. And that was my coming out last year of June. And I was all sweaty from doing yard work, but I was just like, I don't know. I didn't think anything of it. Like I was literally like still sweaty from, yeah. And, but I didn't realize how many people it was, how much it was going to mean to everybody.
That's
so
the thing, David, like you, I sit here and listen to you, like your struggle so mimics what I went through with the Christian church, being raised Baptist in the South. Like I hear so many things and I'm like, yes, that, but like realize the struggle that you went through to get to here just by sharing your story. There's somebody, if not many somebodies, that are not going to go through the struggle you went through because now you've shown them, look what happens. Look when you get to the other side of it, the weight that's lifted, the fact that you do get to live your life authentically and you do survive. And you not only survive, but you thrive. And I think it's so beautiful that you're sharing this with everybody because the good that you are going to do, you are going to stop people from going through the struggle you went through just by telling your story. And you should be really proud of yourself for that.
And you're going to stop people from getting, hopefully by sharing your story of struggle, you are going to stop the people from getting to the dark places that you got to, that you were able to pull out of, because so many times some people don't pull out of those. And by you sharing that, and I'm sitting here crying because of, I know you're trying to find your purpose and you know, you're talking about what your purpose is, you know, in what you're supposed to be doing. Just from you sharing the story of how you didn't want to disappoint the people that were listening to you you helped heal me, because I know what it's like just as well you do. I relate to that so much of when I did Mean Girls and being in the closet and not being able to come out. I was living in a, you know, very similar situation to you. And it was like people finding out that I was gay. I was so afraid that I was going to disappoint all the people that have like built me up and helped me have a career and like been fans and like followed my journey and done that. I was so afraid that they were going to be disappointed by me if they found out that I was gay. And just from you sharing that about you, it helped heal me a little bit. I could feel it healing inside my heart, because it like, it was just a little like, oh, someone else has done this. I'm not alone. Because what we do is a very weird profession, right? It's not a lot of people do this. And so by you sharing that, you helped heal me just now on this podcast. Oh. It helped. Oh. So thank you.
That's beautiful. See, this is why we share these stories. This right here.
Yeah.
The reason it's so important.
It's therapeutic to get it, you know, to get it out. And I'm so glad that it's healing to hear, because sometimes it's like, it's hurtful, but it's like when someone else is going through that same pain, it's so nice to let them know they're not alone. I know it meant so much to me when I, like the people who like I was watching, there's a guy who's in my church, his name's Charlie Bird. He was the BYU's Cosmo the Cougar mascot, and he went viral doing these ESPN dances, and he came out as like the mascot, but also came out as gay. And I was kind of like, what? Like, it's okay to be gay and be a Mormon? Like, I was just like, what? And they a lot of people are like, no, you shouldn't use the word gay. Like, that's what they were saying amongst like our church and like some of the people who are higher up with this. And he's like, but that's how I identify myself. And they're like, no, we're not. They're like, some of the people are like, well, your book won't be able to come out if you use that word. But he just like, you know what? I have to use it. And he had the courage, and he was like, I'm going to risk, you know, I'm going to still put it out and let people know I'm gay and let them know why it's okay. Why it's not a bad thing to be that. And one of my friends gave me that book during COVID. And I was just kind of like, why are you giving me this book? Because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't at terms with myself yet. And she was like, no, it's a great book. It's a great, even if you're not LGBT, it's a great like spiritual book to read. I was like, and I held off. I was like, I don't want to read that because I was uncomfortable with it. Like, I was working so hard to avoid that conversation and having to confront it. But when I read it, I was just like, oh, wow. Because he described it. He's like, I'm gay. Like, his audience is like Mormons that he's talking to with this. It was like on this church bookstore, Deseret Book. And he's like, I'm gay. And this is why I identify as gay. Because usually it's like, no, you have same sex attraction if you're following God. If you say you're gay, then you're like following the devil. And so he's like, this is why I identify as gay, because he's like, yes, I'm attracted to the same sex. But there's so many other things that label I identify with. He's like, I'm a dancer. He's like, you are reading this book probably because you've seen me dancing. He's like, I love art. I love fashion. He's like, I have an eye for design. He's like, I'm sentimental. I get along really well with women. And so he's like, you know, he's like, it's not just like this attraction to the same sex. He's like, I feel like being gay is like this. There's so many other things to being who I am. He's like, and if I wasn't gay, I wouldn't be who I am anymore. Yeah. And I thought it was so comforting to see that, because our church would always just say gay people, all they think about is sex. They're just lustful and they're horny and they just want to like do like weird, unnatural sexual things with each other, with the same sex. And that's all they're thinking. So this was like my first time seeing someone that I was able to relate to. I'm like, so you mean it's okay to be the way I am? Like, it's not this evil thing. So, and that's why I'm like, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, it's like a heavy thing to always talk about. But I'm like, I want people, especially people like in churches, you know, who grew up like we did and in like faith cultures, to know like, it's actually not bad to be the way you are. and help them understand a little bit why. Like, it's a, you can be happy, and it's like a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful, it's beautiful to be queer.
Yeah, I look at, like, you talk about religion, like, I look at how I grew up, and I say, like, there's a level of brainwashing that happened in the church I grew up in, and it is telling you, you can only be one way. Like, I was listening to you talk about how they would phrase things. So our church would say, struggles with homosexuality. Like, and that was their thing they tried to put up for a spin. So it would make you feel like, oh, I should feel bad for feeling this way. And also, I'm struggling, just like I may struggle with lying or whatever else it is. And they brainwash you to think that. And then I even heard you say some of the terminology they would say, like, if I become gay. You don't become gay. You just accept the fact that you are, and you learn to love it and celebrate it. And the minute you do, tell me if I'm wrong here, but is there not that weight that just comes off, and all that fear that you had just disappears, because all of a sudden it feels like now you're actually living a life that's in the light. You're actually living a life completely as yourself. And when you're not doing that lying, or lying to yourself or lying to other people, the anger goes away. When you're not doing that lying to yourself and other people, that fear goes away, because it's all just real and it's the truth. And like, that's the thing. Like, I always say, like, I always talk about, to those of y'all listening at home, this is what you should get from this. Like, get the hope from this. Get the fact that, like, it is so much better when you are just yourself. And if you are in a place where you're still letting religion or whatever you were taught beat you down, like, no, that's just, oftentimes it's not people being malicious, it's just that they don't know any better, because it's all they were taught, and so they try to put it on you. And it's okay to let it go and just thrive as who you are, like let Mr. Archuleta is doing right there. Yes, yes. and do it by song, because we're what? Gay.
Screw that, I'm gonna have a parade.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I think it's so important to have, like, the conversation, like, because when I came out, a lot of, like, some of the conservative people who had an opinion, like, they said the same thing I'd heard a lot growing up. They're like, well, why is this, why do you have to say it out loud? Why don't you just keep this to yourself? And I'm like, because all y'all cared about who I was dating, who I was going to marry. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all wanted to know everything else about me.
Yep.
And now that I'm saying why I'm not, it's, and also it's like, we need to have this uncomfortable conversation, especially in the churches, and because they're not used to it. Like, they haven't been exposed to it. And they're like, oh, like, why are you exposing us to this? We've also avoided this. I'm like, you know what? I tried to avoid that. I tried to avoid that all my life until to the point where I thought it would be better to terminate myself to not have to deal with it. Mm. I'm like, there are way too many other people in the same position who are feeling the same way. So it's like, we need to talk about it.
Yeah. Yep. And David, I was one of those people. So you are doing a really good thing by saying it. Like, because again, like the more we say it, the more people realize they're not alone and the more hope we give to people. So it's just so awesome that you are using your voice right now to do this. I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
There are people out there listening, David, that are feeling exactly like James is feeling and that are feeling exactly like I'm feeling, which is, wow, I feel like someone sees me. I come from a faith-based background where I have struggled with my faith and have a faith crisis where you're feeling one way, but because of your faith and the way you were raised and the different churches you've grown up with, you're torn in a different direction. So there's people are out there listening to this podcast right now, and you're here speaking about it. So for the people that are listening that feel like they're being seen by listening to your story, what would you tell them? The people that are going through the same struggle that you are.
I hope, like, if you're here listening to this, I hope you can see that us three, you know, we've come out, we're hopefully you can hear our stories and see that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I feel like some of the wording that we hear in religion can make us feel isolated, like we're the problem and like we,
it's a struggle. Yeah.
Misunderstood. So I hope, you know, by hearing us three talk openly about our experiences that we've gone through, what you're feeling, like, I just hope, you know, you're not alone. We're here with you. We got you. Uh-huh. And it's really beautiful. It's scary to work through, I guess, the inner homophobia that we've been taught. Mm-hmm. We've been taught to be afraid of ourselves. And we think that it's bad to accept that part. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
But when you have the courage to accept yourself, you feel this love that you've never allowed yourself to experience for yourself. And you find this new confidence, this new joy. And it's just like, wow, like you, it's like, I can actually live my life and enjoy it. I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend to be something else. And it's like, you know, I'm not an evil person. I'm being the way I was. Like, you know, that prayer that I had, it's like, you know, we were designed differently, but we are not designed less than. Mm-hmm. We can have the same amount of joy. We can enjoy relationships just as equally as anyone else can. And it's mm-hmm. so beautiful. And we can have companionship. We can have families if we want. Like, that is still, it may look a little differently is all than the what's considered like the standard look, but you can experience the same amount of joy and happiness. And you deserve it. You deserve to have it.
Listen, Dave, I think honestly, and like maybe I've just had a lot of time out as myself now to look at it differently. I think we live a better life.
I think it's a life
of true honesty. It's a life because once you get that strength to be honest about who you are, you pick up the strength to be honest everywhere and you live a much more authentic, real life because of that. So I think we're plus like. Mm. I get to be married to a dude. That's so fun. Like, I get to be married to my best friend.
Dude.
Like,
this is,
I love that.
Yes, a very good looking man.
A very good looking
like,
dude.
But yes, beyond that, like, it's my best buddy. I get to marry my best buddy and so have fun. All this with him. So, like, it's a really cool thing. Babe. So,
how did y'all meet?
I'm thrilled to be gay.
And I think gays have, like, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Like, I'm not going to say, like, we're, like, more fun or better, but gosh. We are more fun. We just are because no one's ever said, oh, my boring gay best friend. You know, that sentence has never been said in the history of the world. They're like, oh my God, my amazing, hilarious gay BFF. No one's ever said, oh, my boring gay friend who is just a wallflower, right? Like, that's never been said. Mm-hmm. So it's that lets me be able to say we have more fun and we are more fun. So
David, I heard David ask where we met.
We met.
So I used to host a TV show that Jonathan was a guest on, and I interviewed him. And
I was promoting Halloween Wars because I was hosting.
It's actually
Halloween
episode
Wars.
One of Pridecast. If you ever get bored, want to go back and listen, the very first episode of our Pridecast
okay.
that we did is our story of how we met.
I met I was hosting Halloween Wars on Food Network.
I love that this is always the motion you use for hosting, my love.
Yeah, I always
this is
do
a microphone,
this.
Yes, but it's dangerously close.
This is nothing
dangerously
else.
Close.
It's a microphone. I was okay. hosting Halloween Wars on Food Network, and I went on his show to promote my show, and we met and instantly fell in love. Aww. And then I left him, and I ran back, and I said, I have to meet you in the parking lot because I need to kiss you to see if this is going to be forever.
This
and
is a true story.
True story. So I
realized another crush.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. As he was blasting David Archuleta's crush yes. from his yes. speakers, he came back to see if it was real or just a crush. And
how long ago was this, by the
it
way?
It was, in fact, real. Oh, my gosh, six
Almost
years, right,
six
baby?
6 years, yeah.
No, it's been six years,
ago.
Baby.
Oh.
And we got married this year.
We got married this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
And this makes me so happy to see. I love, because it gives, like, you know, I don't have a lot of examples of, like, yeah. I think they, like, prevented me from seeing gay people happy.
Yes.
To discourage me from feeling like I could be happy if I accepted mm-hmm. this. So I just love y'all, just killing it, slaying,
Thank you.
As they say.
And it's yeah. funny because as, really,
as we say, David, as we say, welcome we to the club, say, baby.
Welcome. It's funny, though, because I really do identify with you because we do have a certain level of, like, weird job where what we do, people notice, and it's a whole thing. We don't want to let down our fans, and you just feel like I understand it. So it's like, I remember when I came out with an Instagram post as well. I Instagram
you,
post
not sweaty.
I wasn't sweaty. I posted a picture of us. Well, maybe we were sweaty.
I'm gonna look up David's sweaty post.
I posted a picture of us just like together, like cuddling kinda. And I just was like, you know what? This is the I love this guy. And like I love him. And like just posted that, and I remember just going viral, like, or not viral, but just everyone like, oh my god, yeah. you know, John the Man, blah, 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 and like everyone's like going crazy about it. But when I hit post, that you feel it physically come off you. The stress yeah. and the weight that you've been carrying for 16 years, you feel it go like, oh, okay. And it just it doesn't make it perfect, but a huge chunk of it leaves, and then the rest is able to dissipate over time. So it yeah. and it's still dissipating, right? There's still little things on my shoulders and stuff I have to brush off because I feel like, oh, one of those little negative Nancys are coming up on my and it's like, no, that's not real. That's not real. And you have to brush them off always. But it so I do. I identify with that whole story of the post. I love it.
Oh,
I love it.
I love.
Did you see his
I love that you can
picture?
Connect to that.
Yes.
Thank you to Instagram. Literally. For me to come out.
Yes.
There's so much joy in it too that like we need to talk about because like you said, David, like they do in religion, they hide it from you. They hide the fact that there is joy. They hide the fact that you will have this happiness. I was taught that I will yeah. never have my happily ever after if I choose this life, which AKA just means accept who I am. And that is so wrong right. to all those right. pastors and preachers and even little puppets. We had puppets. Don't even get me started on that. The puppets trying to tell us
oh,
how to live.
Gosh.
Like,
oh, no.
Like
no,
y'all were wrong because the happiness mm. is out there to be had. Have you gotten this? What I want to know, because we talk about this on Pridecast a lot. We ask people about their first pride.
Yes.
Have you gotten to go to a pride yet?
You know, I don't think I've gone to Pride, but I've gone to what's called the Love Loud Fest that Dan okay. Reynolds from Imagine Dragons does
here in
Utah. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that was my first like fest of any kind right. of pride. I'd gone to it a few years ago as well, but this is my first time that I participated in it mm-hmm. out.
Yes.
As a queer guy. And so
what was that like?
It was here in Salt Lake. It was really scary because I never talked to it like face to face with people.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. to do it in Salt Lake City was really terrifying. Actually, I was having an anxiety attack before, but, and on stage, actually I was having an anxiety attack, but at the same time, it was so liberating because I felt like I didn't have to put this front on for everybody because literally like I was used as like this example in the church to be like, this is how you want to be. Like, this is how we want our kids to be like, look how faithful and true. And he is to like his beliefs. And so it was scary because I felt like I was exposing myself, like just completely, like just nude out there. Yeah. I felt, but it felt like I had nothing else to hide anymore. And it was really relieving.
Oh, and this is because this is Pridecast. Mm-hmm. We always ask everyone, and this is something that, you know, this year has been your big, year where you've come out and been able to talk about this. So, you know, it's going to mean something different to you now than it's going to mean from to you 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 2 months from now. Right now, in this moment, what does pride mean to you?
Pride is like the sense of, it's acknowledging all of you and it's accepting all of you and then having confidence in that. It's like these levels of learning how to just fully love all of you and love parts of you that you were told you didn't have permission to, that you were told you weren't allowed to love. And to finally take that and own it back, to finally gain ownership of what was taken from you, to feel like you needed to reject this part of you. That's always a part of you. It's like, and it's part of your essence. And so to gain confidence and full love in that, I feel like totally deserves the title of pride, because, yes. And people be like, you know, oh, but you know, why do you say pride and stuff? I'm like, because it's like, I had to learn how to be okay with that word too. Yeah. But for those very things, it's like, I'm gaining back ownership of a part that I was always told I needed to be ashamed of.
Right.
I'm gaining it back. And it does, you feel a sense of pride, like, wow, like I feel.
You feel stronger. You feel stronger.
Yeah. Cause I'm stronger.
Yeah, I love this musical episode of Pride Day.
I feel like you and I need to hang out, Archuleta, cause like we're the same person. To. Like we will just sing songs and musicals 24/7. Like,
oh my gosh.
We can't do it without it.
I do want to address, like, because we've been talking about like religion and stuff here. There are some really wonderful people of faith and different religions that we even have in our lives. All right, we have wonderful Christian friends, we have wonderful Mormon friends, etc. And they are out there.
They are.
Would you want to talk about how? Because I see that the Mormon Church has come out and what do they say, that it supports codifying protections for same-sex marriage. And like, we have some very progressive Mormon friends, I feel, that have always been very supportive of us, and progressive Christian people. What do you, I mean, are you even in a place yet to have thoughts on where do we think religion goes from here with loving queer people and accepting queer people and celebrating queer people? Because my thought is that man got a hold of all of these scriptures way too much and tweaked it for what they wanted down the line as interpretations and interpretations and interpretations went on.
Right.
And so do you think there's a space where, you know, the different faiths can be celebratory of us, wonderful, amazing queer people, the best people?
Yeah, like I said, I've had a bit of a faith crisis. I've had to take a step back and step away from like my faith and beliefs. But I agree with you with that people just, according to whatever is the social structure of the time, people just interpret what scripture is to fit whatever they want to believe or whatever they're uncomfortable with, whatever they don't understand and are scared of. So they label it as bad and try to change how scripture sounds to fit that. But I feel like there has to be space. I feel like we're in a time, who was telling me this? Someone was saying we're in a time of enlightenment now. Like we're in this technological, you can't hide things away anymore. It was my friend's mom. Like you can't hide things. You can't just label something and take someone's word for it. You have too many resources to see for yourself how things actually are, including the LGBT community and individuals. You can't label them as bad because like you can see it for yourself how they really are and what they're about. But I feel like churches, in order to not, if they want to keep growing, they have to make room for LGBT
for
people.
Everyone.
And for everybody, not just LGBT people, like finding common ground for everybody to feel included. And I was having conversations with one of my church leaders, and it's like, when I first spoke to him, he didn't know what I was going to bring up. And I was talking to him about my sexuality, and he tried to stop the conversation because he was uncomfortable. He's an older gentleman where they didn't talk about this. And he said, well, he's like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't understand this topic. He's like, I don't know what it's like to be gay. He said, let me find someone else for you to talk to. And I said, he said, let me find someone else for you to talk to help you understand it. And I said, I don't need someone to help me understand it. Like, I've already gone through this. Like, all I need is for you to listen to what I'm going through and what I have to share. And I've had to meet with him several times. He's like one of the higher leaders in my church. So it's like, he's in charge of a lot of what other people are going to believe and their ideologies. He has a lot of influence. And he was saying, I went to talk with him again just the other week, I think last week. And he said, this is the first time I've ever had an in-depth conversation with someone who's gay.
Wow.
And like, no, it's not.
And well, I think about the topic.
Yeah. Okay.
And yes. I was like, and I said, well, I feel like this is overdue and it is crucial. And he said, this isn't going to go away, is it? And I said, no, it's not. He said, it's only going to keep growing. I said, yeah, it is going to keep growing because more people are going to just not hide. And I said, most people feel like people are leaving the church because you don't give them an option. Because it's kind of like this expectation, which is why it's so complicated with Latter-day Saints, is if you get married, they may excommunicate you. If you're in a same-sex marriage, they will consider, it's like, I said, I see myself marrying a man. If I get married, I see myself marrying a man. So why am I going to stay in this church? Because he was like, well, why did you leave the church? Why did you say it publicly? Because I told People Magazine that I had stepped away from my church. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what? And I said, I don't want to be in a place and I don't want to act like I'm a part of this organization that I've stepped away from now. And I don't want there are several reasons, but I don't want to be somewhere where if I decide I want to marry and commit myself to someone I love through marriage, that there's going to be hanging over my head this fear that they're going to remove my baptism covenant that I made with Christ because I'm considered someone who's rebelling against God. And that I'm like denying his spirit and committing this horrible thing against God. Like, why would I want to stay here with that judgment being placed on me when I know I'm good? Like, I know I'm making the right decision for me. And so he was thinking about that. And he was saying, he's like, you know, we don't know why gay people are, why God like has this, why gay people exist. And I'm like, You're talking about it as if it's a problem. Yeah. I said, instead of talking about it as if it's an issue, what about consider it as if that's how God intended it? Like, we are just designed differently than heterosexual people and still fully can find joy in our relationships and belong and be happy. I said, we need to stop looking at it that way. And so I feel like you have to have uncomfortable conversations with people because for them, like, we don't want to talk about this, but I'm like, and I was really happy because he said, well, I feel like to find solutions, you have to gain understanding. And that's when he said, I've never talked to a gay person this in depth before. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I'd be happy to talk to more people and more of the leaders. Cause I feel like this needs to happen. And I said, my friend Charlie Bird, I'm like, he's tried to talk to some of the leaders. And I said, you won't talk to him. I'm like, why not? He has a great perspective. He's a great advocate for people like me. And he's still in the church at this point, at least. I can't speak for his future. But I said, but you won't talk to him. Why not? I said, I can only imagine. I'm like, it was hard for me to have a conversation with you. And I've known you all for like over a decade now. And I've been like this public figure in the church. I can only imagine how hard it's been for everyone else. So I'm hoping that I can at least get my foot in the door to help the conversation keep going for the rest of the people. So they don't feel like, oh, maybe it's better for me to not be here anymore. Like, I want to just completely wipe that away. So if you decide you want to be religious and queer, that you can safely do that.
Wow. Yeah. I love that.
Literally changing the face of it.
I love that you're using your voice.
You're using it for good and you're literally changing the face of it because I mean, who's to say that with what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints came out that they're in support of
codifying
same-sex marriage, right? Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't happen without people like you having those conversations with the highest up leaders of that organization. So you're literally changing the face of acceptance in this religion.
And I think a lot of these religions too are going to learn, like, you either learn or get left behind. Like,
yes.
The world is growing. The world is changing. People are learning to love themselves and accept themselves and love and accept each other. And so to be continued, I guess,
with this,
I'm certainly not a part of the religion I grew up in anymore. I'm definitely in a different place than that. So to be continued.
To be continued.
Listen, David, I want to let you get back to your family because I know you are at your family's home, but I know you got a lot of stuff to promote. So I'm just going to let you shamelessly plug.
Shameless. This is a shameless plug. Shameless plug.
David Archuleta. Shameless plug.
Shameless plugs. You have a Christmas tour, David. Let me remind you. You have a Christmas tour. Tell us about it.
You have a song called Faith in Me.
I do. That too. Yeah. Christmas tour. The more the merrier Christmas tour. And I think I have like 9 or 10 shows still that I'm doing, like in Texas, Arizona, Utah, Las Vegas. And up until December 23rd with those. And then Faith in Me, that was the last song I released like a couple months ago, I think. And it was kind of like my song where I was describing what it's like to feel finally being okay with myself and allowing myself to like who I like. So, and that it's like, the sensation it feels like, it's exciting and it's like you just want to so it's Faith in Me is
it's like an upbeat song that is really fun.
I wanted it to feel like you're dancing in your room like no one's watching,
like you are,
but I did that in out in the streets because that's what it feels like coming out in a sense. And my good friend Kevin McHale, he was one of my only gay friends I had at when I first came out. So I called him, he directed the video and I called him, I'm like, so do you know Kevin?
Yes. We've met him before. Yes.
Okay. He is the best. So he and Justin Thorne directed it, but I called Kevin. I'm like, what is this like? I'm like, I don't know what it's like to date a guy. Like, how is it? Like I asked him and he was so cool and so open with me. And he's like, if you ever have questions, you can call me anytime. So he's awesome.
Yes, and you now have your gay uncles right here, Jonathan and James, that you call when you're going through the woes and the highs and the lows of your relationships. You call Jonathan and James and say, "Okay, Gunkles, walk me through this part. He just said this, but we went on a date, and now he wants to do this, and I don't know." And we'll walk you through it.
Okay, yeah.
I would just tell you this: don't let that damage that uneducated people put on you affect you now in your quest for love.
Ooh. Don't take the baggage from the uneducated people into the new relationship because it's not real.
It's not real. Yeah.
There you go.
You get to start. You have this fresh beginning. You are going to feel very young. Listen, not to preach at you right now, but you are going to feel very young because when you are dating genuinely and authentically, it feels like you're just dating for the first time as like a teenager. So that stuff's all going to pop up. Know that it's all accurate. It's all real. Dude. And it's all okay. Gosh. And your happy ending is coming.
Is that our new show?
Thank you.
David Archuleta Love.
Oh, I don't know that I want to be
pre-screening his dates.
I don't know that I want to be responsible for this sweet man's life.
Okay, fine. We'll let you do it on your own, but you call us if you need us.
All right.
David, thank you so much for joining us on Pridecast. I know that this episode is going to change people's hearts. It's going to change their minds and it's going to help people feel seen. I know that for a fact because you helped us feel seen. So thank you so much for joining us on Pridecast.
Thank you. Thanks, Jonathan and James. For helping me feel seen too. I love this. This is great. And we need to hang in person.
Yes, we will.
We have to.
Come on down.
How do people get tickets for your tour?
Oh, they can go to davidarchuleta.com. And I have a link on my Instagram, I think, and on my TikTok. David Archie are my TikTok and Instagram handles.
I mean, it's David Archuleta. So. He's a legend. You'll find him on social media. Type his name in. Go see his Christmas tour. Make sure you listen to his new song, Faith in Me.
And thank you.
Have a fantastic holiday, David. We will talk to you soon.
Happy touring, bud.
Thanks. Happy holidays, tour. Y'all.
Bye. Happy holidays.
Bye.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.